Have you ever tried to, in a garden or a lawn, kill off an unwanted weed? A lot of people have. And sometimes, if the weed is especially persistent, you found that it was almost impossible to get rid of. Sometimes the first attempt is to dig it out, and then they find that that doesn't work. When that fails, sometimes people will turn to chemicals. If that doesn't work, a person may actually try to burn it out. They do everything that they possibly can to get rid of an offending weed. Sometimes, though, it's possible to have some kind of weed. Maybe it's a creepy thing that just seems to take over a lawn or a garden. Sometimes you can have that kind of thing that no matter what you do, it persists. Well, if you can envision that kind of thing, you can understand a special word that's used in the New Testament. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, among other places. And it is in the list of Christian graces that we have been studying in recent weeks. Sometimes this particular term is translated patience in most versions, 2 Peter 1:6. Sometimes this word outside the New Testament was associated with plants that would grow and thrive no matter what happened to them. They could face all kinds of adversity, the harshest circumstances, but they were still patient. They still lived. Now, the word that Peter uses, it was used in a wide variety of ways. It had a wide range of meanings, and there's really no single English equivalent. But the word sometimes was used in the way that I described. Basically, patience has the sense of endurance. It has the idea of perseverance. And that's why sometimes it was used to plants. A plant would persevere. A plant would continue to grow and thrive even though it was repeatedly assaulted by a gardener. Peter says that God's people, as they live their lives, need to have that same kind of endurance in one way or another. God's people, as they live the Christian life, they need to survive. If we think about survival and we look at life, we find that people sometimes survive a set of circumstances or a situation, but they come out severely damaged. We find, and sometimes this is people that we know, individuals are in an automobile wreck and they survive, but their physical body is never right. They go through the rest of their life suffering some kind of significant physical consequence. The word translated patience in 2 Peter 1:6, however, means more than survive. It has the sense of continue, but also thrive. This is God's will for his people. God wants, when a person becomes a Christian, it is heaven's will for that person to not only survive, but to thrive. As we look at our people, Christians, and as we look at our world, we can compare things to fruit. Fruit, if you've ever grown a fruit tree, or if you've watched fruit growers, you know that fruit can be exposed to too much rain. There may be too little rain. There may be too much sun, too little sun, or maybe the temperature is just wrong time after time. Right now, we've had a sudden cold snap. There's been a big change in the weather, and there are a lot of people, especially fruit growers, in this area that are very, very concerned about that. If the circumstances are not right, crops can be damaged and sometimes completely lost. God wants his people to be like fruit, that stay in good shape no matter what the circumstances are. Patience is the kind of quality, one author described it in this way. He said it's like a man who is faced with a very strong wind. And we've had some high winds within the last couple of weeks. And if you can imagine high winds beating down on someone, here's a person who braces their feet and they're willing to stand in spite of that. That's the kind of endurance that Peter is describing. Another said it was peace is what people experience when they have this endurance during the harshest times, such as war. Well, this morning we want to look at some of the places where the Bible describes this endurance, this patience, this perseverance. We begin with Luke chapter 8, verse 15. This is going to be the only passage that I read. The other passages will be on the outline if you have that, and reference will be made to them. In Luke 8, verse 15, we have one of the places where Jesus gave a parable about the sower, and he talked about different kinds of seeds being sown. As we deal with the last type of seed, Jesus says that this was sown in good ground. That is, here is a person who has a good heart. It's a person who has an honest heart. It is someone who wants to do what's right. Now, Luke is the only one who records this parable with this particular detail. He just slips it right in. And if you were casually reading the parable, or perhaps if you were not looking for this, you would not see it. But it is a very significant point. He says that in the good ground. These are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they hold it fast, and they bring forth fruit with patience. Do you see that word? It is the same term that's used in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And this word, as previously noted, has the sense of a spirit that bears all things. It describes a person who will not quit, no matter what comes their way. Jesus said it is that kind of person that has a good heart. It is that type of individual that is the good soil. It is that kind of person who is going to find eternal life. Here Jesus tells us that such a life is the essence of New Testament Christianity. In other words, true Christians are not quitters. People, when they are of good soil, they start the Christian life and they continue to live the Christian life. Most of us have seen a reporter on TV, maybe a national reporter, maybe a local reporter, a reporter when there was a severe storm coming. I'm reminded of a couple of storms not too long ago in Florida. Rain was beating down. It was hard for a reporter to make his report. I think hurricane force winds were beginning to sweep through the area where this reporter was reporting. And in one specific instance, I remember a reporter saying, "There are two people down on my feet." There was one person that was holding the right foot down, and there was another person holding the left foot down, so this fellow was not blown away. And I thought, wow, what a dedicated reporter. He's actually got people on his feet, holding him down, so as these hurricane force winds are sweeping through this area, he can continue to broadcast. Well, that's the idea of patience or endurance in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It tells us that God's people will never give up no matter what they want, no matter what. People can say what they want. People can do what they want. People can think what they want. But God's people, Christians, will not quit. Jesus used this same word a little later in Luke chapter 21, verse 19. There he was speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he said, when this time comes, it's going to be the worst time that the world has ever seen. Jesus said, when this period arrives, you need to have perseverance. You need to have this patience. And Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 19, if you have this endurance, you will save your soul. Well, here's a passage where soul has a figurative meaning. It does not mean soul in the sense of the eternal spirit, but it means soul in the sense of life. Sometimes physical life is saved if people persevere. How many times have we seen on the news a natural disaster? There was a person who was lost in a landslide. Or it may have been a person, maybe a young person, that was lost in the woods. Sometimes there are people who simply give up. I'm too far gone. There's no rescue party that's coming for me. The situation is hopeless. People give up and they die. But we've also seen times, some interesting times, when people have persevered. For days, they've gone without food. For days, they've gone without water. They've been in areas that have been devastated by a rock slide, a mudslide, or something else, but they persisted, believing that somehow, some way, they would be rescued. They persevered. Peter says, in the spiritual life that we have and lead, we need to apply this same principle. This passage is also found a few times in the book of Romans. It first occurs in Romans 2:7. We'll skip that verse and look at what we find in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, verse 3, Paul said tribulation, those would be significant difficulties, great problems in life. Tribulation works, or it helps bring about patience. This word in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. A lot of times people will look at the qualities that are in the Christian graces, 2 Peter 1, and say, they are great qualities. I would sure like to have them. Well, if they were easy to come by, all would probably take them. But they're not easy. To attain these qualities, we have to work. We have to put a lot of work into getting them. And Paul said that one of these qualities, this patience, this endurance, it's only going to come through tribulation. That is, we need to go through some testing. We need to go through some tribulation, some fires, some trials, to build up that kind of endurance. Heat often can strengthen objects in our world. In a similar way, Paul says problems can strengthen God's people to a point where they're tough. And that's what God wants his people to be, tough, resilient, willing and ready to withstand the assaults. God wants his people to be like diamonds, people who are unflinchingly committed in their Christian lives. A little later, we find this term being used by Paul again, Romans chapter 8, verse 25. There Paul said, we have hope. He told those brethren that this hope cannot be seen. That is, we cannot physically go and visit the place where our hope is. But Paul said, even though our hope is not something that we can visit, even though it's not something that we can see, we patiently wait for it. And that word patient is the same word that's used in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. That means that we endure for this hope no matter what. We have a solid hope that's based on truth, that's based on evidence, and because of that proof, because of that evidence, our hope is one that we do not forsake. The word that's translated perseverance, or the word that's translated patience, means that we hold on to that Christian life and that Christian hope with all that we have, no matter how high the cost. A true Christian refuses to let anyone or anything detach or separate him or her from that spiritual hope. Part of our hope is reinforced by the Bible. The word that we're looking at occurs a little later in Romans chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5, too. In Romans 15, verse 4, Paul said, this endurance, this steadfastness is associated with the word of God. That is, when we look at the scriptures, that book is designed to help fortify us so we will not abandon the faith God has given through the New Testament. Sometimes people look at the Bible and they say it's an old book, and that's true. Many also ask how the Bible could possibly have any relevance, any use in our time. God says it's a tool that if we use it, it will allow us to achieve this perseverance, this patience. After Romans 15:4, we have Romans 15:5, and in that verse, the Bible tells us that God is a God of patience. He's a God of endurance. The quality that we're looking at this morning is a divine quality. God has it. And God says to people, you need to have it as well. God perseveres. He's patient with the world, wanting it to repent. People oftentimes do a lot of bad things, a lot of things contrary to the will of God, but God still is steadfast in giving people plenty of time to repent, to make things right. God is also patient with his people when they sin. He could say, well, the first time you blow it, you're going to be destroyed, but that's not the way that God operates, because he's willing to keep at it with us. We need to be willing to keep at it as far as the Christian life, and we need to be willing to share this quality when we interact with others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul said to the Corinthians, I have used all patience, that same word, with you folks. A lot of people, I suspect, would have simply given up on the Corinthian congregation. There may be a lot of people who, if they were exposed to a culture like Corinth, they would say, we don't want to go there. It's a wicked, it's an offit, it's a foul, it's a terrible city, and we're simply going to leave them where they are. They need to be destroyed. But Paul went there and he did a good work. When the Corinthians had problems, and they had a boatload of problems, Paul stuck by them. One of the lessons the church needs to be reminded of is that Christians need to have this patience, this endurance, one towards another. It's easy to be impatient, not forbearing with people, and that's especially true sometimes with fellow Christians. As Paul told the Colossians, he also used this word when writing to them, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, we want to pursue all endurance. We want to be like that plant, that no matter what it's exposed to, it continues, it persists, it simply will not stop growing and thriving. Then the Hebrew writer, whoever that was, decided to use this word in Hebrews 10, verse 36. He said to those brethren, you need patience. What did he mean? You need endurance. You need to latch on to the system that God has given you, and you need to stick with it no matter what. These brethren were being tempted to turn back to the Old Testament system, to go back to the way of Judaism and Moses, and the writer said that's the wrong direction. You are going through some very difficult times now. The circumstances are especially harsh, but you need to endure. You've started on the right path, you have begun the right course, and you need to stay with the program. And as we noted, this endurance applies not only to our own lives, but as we deal with others. It's possible for us to become frustrated and irritated and sometimes even angry with those that we know. But God's people are to be individuals with whom we seek a good relationship and do our best to maintain that at all costs. Every facet of the Christian life requires staying power. And that's what the writer's describing in 2 Peter 1. Later in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12 verse 1, this point again is again made with the same word. The writer said in the 12th chapter, you have started a race. And in this race, you need to run. You're on the track, and you cannot sit there idly. You are not going to do well if you get off the track, but you need to start the race. How are we to run? The writer says you need to use patience, that same word in 2 Peter 1, verse 6. He meant by that word, you're on the track, you have begun the Christian life, and now you're in a position where you never want to give up. If you've ever run, and I used to way back when, you know that a lot of things can happen in a race. Runners get tired, at least I did. It's possible for runners to get thirsty. I saw, and we still see today, runners who stumble. We find runners who they may be out as far as the front of the pack, but for whatever reason, they fall behind. As they're on that race track, a body part may begin to ache. It's possible for a runner to give any number of excuses to say, well, I just quit the race. I, for whatever reason, for whatever excuse, I dropped out today. But God says to his people who are Christians, you have started the race. Hebrews 12, verse 1, you need to endure, you need to persevere, you need to continue and never quit. Are we going to find some barriers along the way? Yes, we will. Might we be injured at some point in the race? That's likely the case. But the eye needs to stay in the goal, and we need to keep running no matter what the cost. Our faith, James says in James 1 verse 3, our faith is designed to work patience. That is what we know from the Word of God. It is designed to keep us on the right track, to help us endure. James also used the word from 2 Peter 1 6 later in his letter, James chapter 5 verse 11, and this is perhaps the most important verse in this entire lesson. We probably know what that passage says, but maybe we've never looked at it from the standpoint of the word that we're examining today. James talked about the patience of Job. Well, now, Job was not patient in the sense that we usually use that word. He was a very impatient man, if we think about the English word of patience. But you know, Job was very patient when we look at the word from the standpoint that has been described today. He was that good soil in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. He was the man who endured no matter what. He was the man who would not quit. He lost his property. His wife turned against him. His family turned against him. He was the man who ends up out in a trash heap. And everything that he has in his life has been stripped from him. And yet the Bible says he endured. And James says you need to live your life like that if you are a child of God. Job got banged up. He got bruised, but he refused to leave the race. You know, when people live that kind of life, God knows. And that's not my belief, but the Bible specifically says that. If you have an outline, look for the next passage, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. In that particular passage, we have Jesus saying to a congregation, I know thy patience. That's the same word that's used in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Here were people who were enduring special circumstances, and Jesus says, I know what you're going through. I know that you are enduring. On the day of judgment, there will surely be a lot of people who appear before the Lord. And they will hear some very sad news. They will learn how they started the Christian race. They will be reminded of that. They got off to a good start. They were doing as well as all the other people were doing. But there was a time in their Christian life when they stopped running the race. They lost the quality of endurance. They gave up because of someone. They gave up because of something. Or they were somehow distracted and then they went on to something else. And in eternity, that will be an eternal regret. People will be able to ask unendingly, why, oh why, didn't we continue? If only we had stayed on the right course for a little longer. We were so close. Why did we slip off track and not endure? How sad for people who know the truth not to continue therein. We cannot endure if we're not a Christian. It's impossible. So the Bible tells us how to become a Christian. We need to have faith in Christ. Without faith in him, there's no way that we can endure. We're not going to be able to endure if we've not repented of our sins. Acknowledge that the way that we have lived in the past is inconsistent with the will of God, and we need to live in the right way. We're not going to be able to endure if we've not chosen the right side. And the Bible says we choose the right side by confessing that Christ is the Lord and Savior. We're not going to be able to endure unless we've had our sins washed away. And the Bible says in Acts 22, verse 16, that we arise and we're baptized and sins are washed away. We're not going to be able to endure unless we're on the racetrack, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that we have put our feet on the track and we're continuing to move forward. We need to endure. Are we therefore a Christian? And are we therefore running that race with patience? Hebrews 12, verse 1. We sincerely hope so. But this morning, if that's not the case, for reason one, you're not yet a Christian. Or reason two, you've become a Christian, but you've left the track. You've failed to endure. This morning, there's still hope. There's still time. There's at least one more opportunity to make things right. And if you need assistance from those who are here to study with you, to encourage you, to pray with you, to help somehow right your course, would you let us know as we now stand and sing the selected song?